Hello, can anybody hear me? Yeah? Hello, and welcome to Within the Journey, the second episode. So today's topic is completely inspired by one of my friends who, thou name shall not be named for protection purposes, but we're going to talk about old wounds and the inner child. So let's talk about that for a second. How many of us have old wounds that we think we've healed? Or how many things come up in every day that trigger us? Every day, we get triggered by something. And if you really look around in humanity and with every single person you encounter, every single day, everyone gets triggered every day by different things. And when I say trigger, even that varies for everyone. Some people get triggered emotionally, where they literally start to feel sick, or they get knots in their stomach, or their body starts to tense up their muscles in certain areas, in their shoulders or their back, or they get headaches. Others people's triggers look like outbursts, where as soon as they get triggered, it comes up as anger. Sometimes people's trigger can be an energy trigger. They energetically shift. And I'm trying to think of the best way to describe it. But it's almost as though when you're sitting across from someone and then you say something and all of a sudden their demeanor changes. Or the energy that they're outputting starts to shift, and either they get more quiet or they get more talkative. It's almost like a nervous tendency to express the uncomfort about the fact that they've been triggered by something you've said or something you've done or a way you've looked at them or something that a thought that they had that was triggered by something that you said that made them think of something else that then triggered them. And triggers are such an interesting thing. For those of you out there that do know me in real human land, I see every day a little differently, a little avant-garde. I look at every day as, how am I here to serve? How can I serve greatest good for everyone involved with every single person I experience today? And the greatest good doesn't always come from joyful and happy things. Because serving the greatest good could mean you being guided to say something or have a conversation or do something or go somewhere that triggers someone else that may not have triggered me, but it maybe it triggered them, which could, quote unquote, be considered something negative that happened. But underlyingly, triggers are the opportunity for us to choose to evolve and see things in a different perspective, if we choose to, because free will, great thing. And that serves the greatest good for all. So I feel like this term of serving the greatest good for all involved has become a little misconstrued, or it could easily be misconstrued, because it doesn't mean that everything is going to be hunky-dory and everyone's doing the hokey-pokey and turning themselves around and throwing glitter. Because believe me, if I could throw glitter all day, every day, I would totally do it. But serving the greatest good of all means collectively experiencing and allowing ourselves to become triggered. So here's the way I look at it. Every conversation that you have with anyone that makes you feel vulnerable, uncomfortable, agitated, angry, frustrated, misaligned, negative, again, quote unquote subjective, because negative is subjective, all of those feelings are a way to evolve if we choose to look at it that way. Because anytime we get triggered, it has absolutely nothing to do with the person sitting across from us or the circumstance that we just went through. It has everything to do with ourselves. Everything. And then there's this other layer of humanity where I know there are times where, let's say, I sit across from somebody or they'll say something or they'll look at me a certain way or I feel judged or, you know. And the initial human response is to be angry. How could you say something like that? Who would say something like that? Why are you judging me? Da, 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 da. But it's being able to recognize the response that first comes up and then turn it around. Like, it's almost like they're showing me an image of like someone like turning your skin inside out and saying, okay, why did I it's almost like our humanity is such a blessing and it's not seen as a blessing for people who are quote unquote spiritual, because I think that I feel like that term has kind of been so loosely thrown out there and people have all these perceptions of it. But when you turn it inside out, humanity gives us the ability to express outwardly the emotions that are inwardly going on. So if we come off as being angry or aggressive about something that someone said that triggered us, instead of judging the anger that came out, recognizing it, turning it inside out and saying, okay, clearly my humanity has indicated to me that I have been triggered. What is it about that conversation, that person, that experience, that circumstance that triggered me emotionally to the point where I lashed out? Because a lot of the times when we lash out, actually all of the time, and I'll tell you this, anger is a real emotion. In humanity, we experience a whole range of emotions, and anger is a very raw and rich emotion. But anger is the band-aid over deep sadness. When we feel anger about something, and we turn it inside out, that anger is an outward representation of a deep old wound that's been sitting there and neglected. And the way I kind of view it, because as I walk through life and every day, everything comes to me in images. They send me instincts, gut impulses, images, views, messages. When I say they, I mean I don't even know how to describe it. The universe, God, greater, the divine, the higher source, the power of light. I don't judge it. I just allow it to come through. So that's who I'm referring to when I say they. Because we are all connected and we are all from the same source and we are all pure light and we are all living from the same source of energy and here to learn from each other. We are all connected. We are never separate. So when you're encountering life and you get triggered by things, it's usually pointing towards an old wound that's been sitting there and has been neglected. And the way that they show it to me is that those old wounds are like a tantruming child. A tantruming child, a child who is in distress, doesn't know what they need. All they know is that they're feeling a certain way. And all they want is your attention. But what kind of happens in society, we're not taught to look at it like that. We're not taught to look at our inner wounds, our old wounds that have been there for in this life, if you believe in past lives. Not everyone does, and that's fine. But even in this life, those old wounds are a representation of what our inner child needs. And I'm going to dive a little deeper into the inner child, because this is another lens of perception that I personally look through on a day-to-day basis. I look at everything through the eyes of the inner child. The inner child is the deepest and purest part of our soul that brings up the lessons in our humanity, that gives us the opportunity to evolve and become our most authentic selves if we choose to. The inner child isn't really spoken about much. It's not something that people consider quote unquote normal, right? But what's normal, that's subjective. Everything is subjective. Humanity needs a label. It needs a box. It needs to make sense of things. Think of your brain as like in a Rubik's cube. It's just like, it needs to keep moving until it figures things out and it needs to know. And our human brains are not the enemy. Because our mind and our hearts are meant to work in tandem. And when they start to work in tandem with one another, when we get triggered, those old wounds get triggered, we're then able to turn it inside out and see our inner child and what state that inner child is in. Think of your inner child as a representation of the purest, most raw, organic part of your authentic soul. It's almost as though there's two of you. You have your adult self, the adult body that walks around, encounters human experiences, has conversations, allows those triggers to be sparked up, that allows us to feel the range of those emotions and experience everything to its full capacity. And then you have your inner child that internalizes all of those experiences. I'm trying to explain it in a way where the human self and the inner child are not separate. They are the same because they are the essence of who we are as a human being in our most authentic form. But in order to see things from a different light, in terms of triggers and old wounds, our human brain is able to process things a little differently when it's able to put it in two separate categories. Because then it allows us to no longer see things as happening to us. It allows us to see things as happening for us. Because if you think about it, and you feel how those words resonate, that is two completely different perspectives on life. And a lot of people, if you really just sit back and observe like a fly on the wall, a lot of people have been taught or raised to walk through life thinking, oh, well, that's my life. That's what happens. It happens to me all the time. I'm always getting screwed over. People are always leaving me.
Never satisfied in my career. Never enough money. Don't have enough food. I can't do anything. Not pretty enough. Gotta go to the gym more. And it's this perpetual cycle. And because we are surrounded by it all the time, our brains start to think that it's true. When you start hearing something long enough, over and over and over and over and over again, you start to believe it. You start to lose sight of who you actually are because you're thinking, oh my gosh, I have all this proof and this evidence in the external world. People are telling me this is true. It must be. Your reality is a choice. How you choose to see things is a choice. And if you are choosing to look at life from the attitude of gratitude versus the attitude of life is happening to me, there is a reason for that. One is not better than the other. Because all of us in some point of our lives, and you know, maybe not all of us, because the only thing that I can really speak to is from personal experience, right? Because we've all had different experiences and there's no way that any one of us could ever understand fully what somebody else is going through because we are not them. There is only one of you. Be yourself because everyone else is already taken. It was a quote that somebody sent me a while ago and I was like, oh, this is so great. But it's so true. We'll never know. But even if you choose to look at life that way, where life is happening to you from a quote-unquote negative mentality mindset, it's really not negative. Because it brings the awareness. It brings the opportunity for awareness of this perspective on life. Because if you didn't have it, you couldn't see it. But mostly in society, and again, it's just not everyone, and this is judgment-free because one is not better than the other. It allows people to stay in that vibrational frequency to see life as happening to them long enough to then shift to the attitude of gratitude where life is happening for them. And some people choose to see that perspective earlier in life. Some choose to see it later in life. And it has nothing to do with whether their soul was important enough to see it or valuable enough. It has nothing to do with value. There's no judgment to it. It's a choice. And we become more aware of why we choose to go down the paths that we do. When we step back and see our inner child as a fundamentally important part of the puzzle. But we don't talk about this stuff. It's not something that's spoken about. It's like when you think about when you go to school and we used to do home ec and they taught us some cooking and they taught us how to sew. Didn't really learn anything about money or credit cards. Or how to build capital, or how to invest your money in a smart way. Like, none of that stuff was ever taught. We all learn those things as we mature, and we have more experiences, and we talk to people who have had more experiences than us so we can learn from them. It just never was taught. The inner child is the same thing. This information is readily available for those who are ready to hear it. And if you're listening to this, your inner child is ready to be awakened and seen for the important part that it is. Your inner child has needs the same way that we do as humans. And again, we're looking at it as two separate things. You have yourself, your human self, and your inner child, two separate things. But your inner child represents all of those old wounds and all of those experiences you had when you were younger that you couldn't process then. You couldn't possibly process when you were young. So many things happen. Think about it. Even when we're conceived from the womb, we open our eyes and there's light. We're trying to process the fact that there's light. What? It's bright in here. Can't see anything. We're processing. And then we hear sounds. We're like, what's that sound? I hear this talk. We don't know that it's talking, but we're just, you're hearing people talking. Oh, he's so cute. Da-da-da-da. It's like our senses go into overload, right? And then we start experiencing all these abstract things, right? Those are just the physical senses, but then you have the abstracts, like the emotion, and then the crying, and then smiling, and then feeling nervousness, and feeling the... So if you really think about how much children process that they don't understand, and it's not because they're dumb, it's not because they're not important enough, or they can't, they're just not able to. It's genuinely because of the lack of experience and exposure. It takes time to learn things. Your inner child is a representation of all of those things that you experienced when you were younger that you may not have been able to process at that time, and you did the best that you could. But it sits there. And that inner child remembers everything that happened. And when we get triggered in humanity, when you experience something where you're talking to someone and they trigger you and all of a sudden you lash out in anger, or you get really quiet and then you start to beat yourself up and the inner critic comes out, or you start to, I don't know, everyone has different habits. Everyone has different ways that their trigger comes out, right? Anytime that happens, it's a way of your inner child trying to reach out to you to say, hey, please pay attention to me. I need something. And here's the part that is the most perplexing part of all of this. Just because our conscious brain understands why something happened, just because our conscious brain can identify and pinpoint why things occurred the way they did and why you may have felt the way you did and how this person affected that when you were younger, right? Logically, rationally, as an adult, logically, we can figure it out. And then we close the door and we move on, never to be explored again. But that inner child, what that inner child felt in those moments that you've just rationalized in your human brain as an adult, that inner child is still sitting with all of those emotions. That inner child is still feeling all of those wounds that have been suppressed for so long. And that inner child is still in you. And that's why we get triggered. Because it's our inner child's way of trying to communicate to us that the inner child needs attention, and it needs love, and it needs compassion. And needs reassurance. And needs to feel accepted. The inner child needs to feel love. And the only person that can give the inner child love, the type of love that it needs to move past old wounds, is you. So the next time that you get triggered by something, and it could be anything, instead of looking at it as, why is this happening to me? Ask yourself, why is this happening for me? Why am I being triggered? What is my inner child trying to tell me? Because most of the time, all our inner child wants is to be acknowledged, to be seen, to be heard, to be loved and reassured the exact same way that all of us need in humanity. We all appreciate and love to be loved. Our inner child is no different. But society has taught us to shut down those feelings because we have more important things that we need to be doing as adults. I need to raise a family, and I need to make money, and I need to do all these important things and prove that I'm worthy. I don't know why it came out in a British accent, but it did. Just go with it. But really, think about that. We've been taught and shown that there's no time to deal with feelings. There's no time to acknowledge our inner child. It's just having a tantrum. Just ignore it. Planned ignoring. Best way to do it. Planned ignoring. Eventually they'll stop and they'll shut up and be quiet. Think about your own childhood. Whether you had a childhood that was filled with compassion and love and generosity and acceptance, or whether you grew up in an environment where you felt alone and abandoned and judged and criticized. Either side of the coin, society tends to take over with that mindset. It takes over with that idea that we don't have time to deal with our emotions. And this is probably going to sound crazy. Actually, I know it's going to sound crazy to a majority of listeners, but I don't really care. When I get triggered by something and I lash out, or I get really quiet and in my brain and overthink, usually my trigger is I start to overthink everything. When I get triggered, I literally have a conversation with my inner child. I picture her. I close my eyes. I envision what she looks like. And I tell her, I see you. I hear you. I appreciate you. I love you. I forgive you. Because for those of us who are typically do-gooders, right? The ones where everyone thinks that you're sunshine and rainbows and glitter and happy flowers and all the fun things in the world all the time. There are times where anger comes up. And the first thought that we have is to criticize ourselves and to self-judge. To say, I'm better than that. I shouldn't have done that. That was so mean. And then it goes into a downward spiral. It doesn't mean that you're a bad person. It means that your inner child needs something from you. And it was the only way to get your attention. We'll change things so drastically that words can't even define the feeling of it. But it's scary. When society thinks of the label of a child, they think, or they've taught, that the child is worthless, doesn't know anything, has no experience, they need someone around them all the time, they really don't know anything. But I honestly feel that society has created that stigma of a child. Because a lot of people are too afraid to recognize their own child within themselves. Because that's the child that's going to bring up the deepest and the darkest wounds. That child will bring up the greatest vulnerability you will ever experience in this life. More vulnerable than having a significant partner or a deep, intimate relationship with a friend or a family member, any relationship, the relationship you have with your inner child is going to be the most vulnerable relationship that you will ever have. And I think that's why society, actually, I don't think, I know and I feel, that's why society still battles with this viewpoint that children are somehow less valuable than adults just because they haven't experienced what we've experienced in real life. It's like when you look into a baby's eyes, there is something about looking into a newborn infant's eyes that makes a lot of people feel very unnerved and uncomfortable, because those children, those infants, are a reflection of our inner children that so many of us spend all of our lives running away from. But that child needs love and compassion. In love and in light, namaste.